T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. A huge game 3 tonight at the Wells Fargo Center. It's going to be quite an atmosphere down in the
It's going to be awesome.
Sports complex tonight.
It's going to be awesome.
Well, if we get a win and the right draft pick, it'll be an awesome night, obviously.
There better not be an infestation of Knicks fans down there.
You think probably will be.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be some.
Knicks fans travel well, though.
If there are any New Yorkers listening, screw you.
Turn around.
Yeah.
Go back home. Get out. I imagine there will be some. I actually think so. Here's where I think you could get an infestation of that nonsense. If the Sixers somehow lose tonight, people are going to sell their tickets for Game 4.
I'm not watching that game.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't either. Right now, I think the Sixers are going to win tonight, and we're going to have something to watch on Sunday. But yeah, hopefully not. But it's going to be a big night tonight. The draft show starts at 6. Hugh, we're back. We get to get out early today because the Phillies game. We're coming back at 6 o'clock, draft show. Hugh's staying all the way through the Eagles pick.
I will be there. Uh-huh.
I get tagged out at 8 for Glenn Mack now. Hugh's staying the whole way. No, it's going to be a great night. A lot of great
conversation. No man on the totem pole.
A lot of great conversation around the
draft. And Hugh Douglas just keeps working.
That's what he does. That's what he does. That's what he has to do. All right, so we will get to my big board. 10 players I'd love to see in an Eagles uniform tonight, and maybe one is a second-round guy, but I just like him and hope he ends up in an Eagles uniform. We'll get to that coming up. First, though, let's get to some audio here of two prospects because we're debating, look, if they're trading up, is it a corner? Is it offensive lineman? What would you rather have? Well, I think if they're trading up for a corner, it's one of these two guys, Quinyon Mitchell, Toledo, Terrion Arnold from Alabama. First, let's hear Terrion Arnold. This is kind of a fun back and forth talking about when he came to visit here and Devontae maybe kind of lobbying for the Eagles to take him and to be their next great corner.
How was your visit with the Eagles?
It was great, man. The visit went really, really well.
What did you come away with after meeting Nick Sirianni, Howie Roseman, and everybody?
Great guys, great organization, and my boy Devontae Smith pulled up on me there. Yeah. So it was great all around.
What did Devontae tell you about the Eagles, and if they were to possibly move up and get you, what it would be like for you?
Oh, Devontae was like, man, you know, if you want to get the best quarterback in the draft class, you need to get Terrion. And then on top of that, like, Devontae was like, man, like, I'll become a better player. Because, I mean, I didn't really get those matchups against him at Alabama. So getting those matchups going up against him in the NFL, man, it'll be amazing. And I'm one of those guys, like, I'm ready to compete, man. Him, A.J. Brown, like, it would just be great.
He sounds like a confident kid. Every time I hear Terrion Arnold talk to you, he sounds like good personality, confident kid. I think there's a certain level of swagger you need to have to play corner. He seems to have that. I liked what I heard there from Terrion Arnold.
Yeah, you like the fact that kids are confident, man, and they want to get better. I think that's one of the things that you listen for when you talk about these potential draft picks. What do they want to be? And how do they view themselves? And he didn't shy away from going up against Devontae Smith or A.J. Brown. He wants to get better. So you got to like that about the young cats.
I also imagine that guys like Devontae and Jalen want to kind of even this thing out. Has the Georgia crew tipped the scales? We have more Georgia guys than Alabama guys, don't we now? I think the Alabama kids here got to want to tip this scale back. I mean, this is becoming more Georgia than Alabama around here. We also have Quinyon Mitchell talking about his visit with the Eagles. Quinyon, of course, from Toledo.
How was your visit in Philly with the Eagles?
Yeah, it went good. You know, Coach Kendall and the head coach, they best friends, so I was talking a little trash to them. So, yeah, it was really good.
Did you take the hoops test with Nick Sirianni, the competition?
No, he didn't want to play hoops, so no, I ain't do it.
The Eagles have been rumored to want to move up and get you.
Yeah.
What do you think it would be like to be an Eagle?
I mean, it'd be great playing for that city and playing for that fan base, so I really enjoy it.
Have the Eagles showed interest in you?
Yeah, they brought me on the visit, and the visit went great, just meeting everybody there, so I feel like it went good.
What would you bring as a corner?
What would I bring?
Yeah.
Just intensity, ball skills, turnovers, and interceptions, so that's what I bring.
I'll take all those.
All that in a bag of dust. Everything that we didn't have before.
Did you watch the play last year? I could do all the things they couldn't do.
Tackling is another thing.
I could cover.
Yeah.
So, all right, what do you make of the relationship between Sirianni and the head coach of Toledo? Best friends, roommates in college. Now, I could look at it one of two ways, right? Okay, the first thing is he's going to get a true and honest evaluation of the player. Sirianni calls him and says, give me everything I need to know about this kid, Quinyon Mitchell. The other side of it, though, is this head coach at Toledo, think about the boost for his program if this kid goes really high in the draft, if he's an Eagle, if he's a champion, right? It's good for Toledo and good for this coach if Quinyon Mitchell gets drafted as high as possible.
Do
you think he's going to give an honest answer?
Yeah, I think, but my thing is this. There's been a couple Toledo players that have been pretty good. Antonio Brown. I think with the Toledo was
Western Michigan.
Western Michigan. But the thing of it's the conference.
The MAC
conference. We've had a couple good players from the MAC. I think if I'm not mistaken, isn't Akron in the MAC?
Yes.
Jason Taylor came from Akron. So there's been some good players that came from Akron. Came from that conference.
Sure. You know what's happening though? I was reading a story about Quinyon Mitchell because he stayed. He had a lot of offers to leave on NIL deals and the transfer portal. He wanted to remain loyal to Toledo because they were loyal to him. He had some academic issues.
Yeah.
What they were saying in the article was, though, lately players in the MAC transfer out to go to Oklahoma.
To bigger school, yeah.
So that you're seeing less and less Toledo, like in the first round, this player from Toledo, because maybe originally he was at Toledo, and then whatever, he ends up at Michigan.
Yeah, because a lot of NIL money is a big deal now.
Sure,
and if you get an opportunity to put yourself in a better financial situation in college, you know, by going to another school, I mean, I'm not mad at anybody for that, but I'm glad that he stayed. Because like I said, there's some good players that come out of that conference, the MAC conference.
You think the coach gave Sirianni an honest answer?
Definitely gave him an honest answer. Definitely gave him.
What do you think, Kyle? Because the higher he's drafted, the better it looks for Toledo.
Well, you know what we need? We need Jalen Rager's coach to tell it how it really is.
Gary Patterson, I believe.
He was on with Joe and John, and he crushed Jalen Rager.
His work ethic. No, wait a minute.
Deshaun Jackson coach did him like that, too, when he was coming out. Or UCLA. He pooped on. It's all UCLA, Cal, about the same thing.
Same thing.
About the same thing. No, I'm just kidding.
Pissed off a lot of West Coasters.
Yeah. But, it was like some coaches.
Was it Jeff Tedford, I think, was the coach back then.
Yeah, he poo-pooed on him big time, man. That was not cool.
I always think that's wild because, I mean, the coach, you think he would want to boost up the player as much as they could to make the program look good. 215-592-9494. But that's certainly a piece of this puzzle here. If they draft Quinyon Mitchell, the relationship Sirianni has to the Toledo head coach. Let's go back to the phone lines here. O-line or corner, if the Eagles are trading up, which would you rather trade up for, and who's your guy tonight? Give us a name. Brad is up on WIP. What's up, Brad?
Hey, what's happening, guys?
What's
going on, Brad?
Joe, I do not want an offensive lineman. That's, I think, the least sexy pick we can get, and I think we have so much in the later rounds that that depth will be fine. With that being said, I think the best scenario is getting an established corner, not one of these young guys. And the Broncos have zero second-round picks. They go from 12th overall to, I think, 76th overall in the draft. We have 50 and 53. I think we'd make a push to get Pat Surtain on the Eagles.
So, I mean, look, Brian, when this offseason started, Brad, if you had asked me one veteran player, like, you know, that's on a team, not a soon-to-be free agent like Saquon, but one guy established in the NFL on a team that you'd love to trade for, my answer would have been Pat Surtain. I'm 24 years old, already probably a top-five corner in the NFL. If they're really willing to listen on him, Brad, I would trade the 22nd pick in a heartbeat.
Why are we so against letting the young guys play? I'm just curious. Why are we so against on the defense that, like you're acting like having Pat Surtain, one guy, is going to make this team better when
it would by a lot.
We have young cats all over this team that we need to develop players.
Remember how he couldn't draft a wide receiver to save his life, and then what he did was trade the 18th overall for A.J. Brown.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know about you, but I think that worked out.
I'm not saying it. Like, I think you're missing what I'm saying, Brad. I'm asking, why aren't we giving these young guys that we drafted, that are drafted Philadelphia Eagles, a shot to play?
Well, I'll give my answer. Because we don't know if they can play.
Well, that's what you draft them. You draft them off the potential.
Right, but we're trying. Like, so let's go back to Brad's example. In 2022, if you were sitting here, you could have said, we got young Thundercats at receiver. We got Quez Watkins. Like, maybe he can play. The truth was, not every young player develops. Some stink.
Yeah.
Eli Ricks might stink. I'm not saying he does, but yeah, he might.
Yeah, this is true. But you have to give them a shot. That's the point that I'm making.
Well, maybe, you got to give them a shot. Unless you could upgrade.
And on top of that, you've already had them in the program. You have to, in order, to me, a better run organization is one that, you find the first round draft picks that you pick and you get those guys. Not necessarily running out all the time and having to overpay for somebody. It's instead of developing the players that you have. Like, I think a good run organization, kind of like the Kansas City Chiefs, they've done a good job of developing young players and then letting them go out and somebody else go out and pay them.
Well, they did it with Snead.
I'm saying. That's how I kind of look at it. But I hear you. I'm just kind of curious. Like, in order to be the organization or be where we want to be, we have to do a better job, in my opinion, of grooming young players and allowing them to play.
Yeah, well, Brad, we appreciate the call. And I love the Surtain trade idea. I don't know if they're going to trade him. I'm guessing right now they're not going to trade Pat Surtain unless look, if the Broncos want to try to make a big splash tonight and want to get into the top five for a quarterback, well, maybe then they'd have to move around and maybe an extra pick would help them and all that kind of stuff. So, Hugh, I understand your point, but then we have to change expectations. At least I would.
I don't think we have to.
Yeah, I do. I think we've been spoiled and ruined by watching Mahomes and Reed. It's not real. They're an outlier.
It is real.
They're an outlier. We don't have that coach. I mean, this coach is not Reed. Look, I don't want to rip Sirianni today. He's not Reed. And this quarterback is not Mahomes. So the way I look at it is, if we want to be a draft developed team, then they're not winning the Super Bowl this year. Yeah. Just accept it.
I believe this. I believe Andy Reed became who he was because of some of the mistakes that he made here.
Sure.
And I feel like in order for us to get over this hump, I still feel like both things can happen. I feel like we can let these young guys play and then we can still be on the road to a Super Bowl.
What do you think is more likely? That they win the Super Bowl next year with Pat Surtain or they win the Super Bowl hoping Terrion Arnold can play?
I think it's Surtain for me. I think you can win the Super Bowl hoping that Terrion Arnold can play if you coach him up. I'm looking at teams that have had success in the last couple of years, and most of them have had success. Like, you add some free agents and you add guys like that, you sprinkle them around when you're getting over the hump. You got to develop these young cats, man. And last year, I don't think that what we saw from this coaching staff and what we saw from these young players is enough to evaluate whether or not they can play in this league. That's the point that I'm making.
Well, I agree with you. The jury is totally still out on the young corners, right? Rodgers had a good year 2 years ago with the Colts, and he was suspended. I thought, I'm with you. Ringo showed something. Like, there's something there.
The signs.
Yeah, it's some signs. But there's also a chance both those guys are not real, legitimate, big-time starting cornerbacks in the NFL.
See, I think they are. I think that.
Yeah, but there's a chance they're not.
It's always a chance.
But there's no ambiguity with Patrick Surtain. He's a great player.
Yeah, and you're going to have to pay Patrick Surtain if you get him.
Sure, but it's not my money.
I guess.
Two-time that dude of the year back there.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I trust Howie way more with paying people than I do drafting people.
Also, like, hope is not a strategy. You know Patrick Surtain can play.
Exactly. Now, if he's available tonight, yeah, I mean, we throw all these other names
out. So why are we drafting then?
Because he's not available.
Well, I'll take Patrick Surtain.
Why do we draft these young guys and not knowing if they – I mean, just to have them on the roster?
I think, like, it's the idea of a known commodity versus an unknown commodity.
No, I hear you, but you gotta let them play.
Well, you don't have to.
Yes, you do. You do have to.
Not necessarily.
I understand Hugh's point, but then I just lower expectations. If we want to play a bunch of 23-year-olds, they're not winning the Super Bowl.
Just think if – Just let me go back in the Wayback Machine. I know this is Thursday, but we're going to go back in the Wayback Machine.
Way back?
Yeah.
What if?
What was Jason Kelce, a sixth-round draft pick?
Sixth-round pick, yep.
What if somebody said, oh, he's too little. He can't play.
Well, a lot of people did. That's why he was a sixth-round pick.
It was like, give him a chance. if he doesn't get a chance, we're not singing his praises to this day.
Well, okay,
we're not having the Mummers Parade or any of that, none of that.
But to your point, he didn't become the Jason Kelce that's going to be in Canton for a few years.
And that's what I'm about to say.
But that's fine. But then we got to lower expectations. You want to play young guys? They're not winning the Super Bowl.
I think they can.
That's not how the league works.
The league does work like that.
Not unless you have an all-time quarterback.
Wasn't Snead? Listen.
They don't have an all-time quarterback.
I think Jalen.
All-time?
Is a good quarterback.
Oh, so
I wasn't about to give you that hyperbole. You weren't about to get me out there like that today. But not today.
I almost had him.
But I feel like we have the quarterback that could get us to the promised land. He got us to the promised land
already. With a loaded veteran roster around him.
And that's okay. I'm okay with loading up. That's why. Why do you?
Veterans.
Now we're on the same page.
Loaded
now,
veteran.
That's why we go get a tight. That's why we go get Brock Bowers.
Loaded
that's why we go get a
veteran roster. Look, loaded veteran roster.
An NFL team can theoretically win a Super Bowl with Jalen Reagor on the roster, but wouldn't you rather have A.J. Brown?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, that's a home run right there. Josh is up next in Jersey. What's up, Josh?
Man, you got me?
Yes. What's up, Josh? What are you feeling today, buddy?
How are you guys?
Good.
Hugh, I actually kind of agree with what you're saying in regards to, like, the upbringing of, like, the acquired young talent. I think it's actually very interesting, like, as a fan base, like, the obsession with young talent, too. It's like, oh, my gosh, this person's coming in, immediate impact. Like, everyone thinks, like, you know. But I think the real conversation is you really don't know, and I think Kyle's right. I was saying to Kyle on the phone, I was like, I know you're upset, but I think the offensive lineman actually might be the smart pick, but I'm in the corner camp. I'd rather a corner. Like, honestly, I'd take Arnold in a heartbeat. But I think the offensive lineman is smart because it's a blue chip player probably in 4 or 5 years.
Well, Josh, I think that's a big part of it. You know, the way sometimes you just got to listen to what the experts are saying, right? The experts are saying this is a quarterback, receiver, O-line draft, right? That's where the stars of this draft are. So I think you're right. It's probably more likely that one of these offensive linemen becomes a star. Maybe these corners are good. And Josh, the other thing I think about is I just trust them to take an old lineman. They're good at that. They're not really great at drafting corners.
The last thing I'll say, and I'll go, I really think acquiring another player this draft doesn't have to be Pat Surtain. Acquiring another player from another roster is something I'm interested in how we doing, because he is always thinking differently in regards to how he attacks the draft. Maybe hitting on the player is something that we can talk differently, but he tries to attack it and how he picks and acquires and swindles around. That's a good way to word it. Swindles around. I like Howie. I think GM.
Howie needs to do a better job of drafting these later players, in my opinion.
Howie just got to put out winning teams.
Thundercats. I'm with you, Hugh. I'm with you, bro.
He needs to do a better job of drafting these young players.
He just needs to build winning teams. Josh, we appreciate the phone call.
I like how you let Howie off the hook when it comes to the later picks in the draft.
Because I just think the draft isn't quite as direct line to winning as you do.
I do. Nah. I believe that.
I mean, the Rams haven't had a first round pick in 7 years. All they do is win games.
And you know what? They've just you know what the Rams are doing? Kicking the can down the road, but they're about to fall off. Like
this year they came back.
The quarterback is getting older, Joe. They're about to fall off.
Well, they got to draft a new one.
Who is it? Not Cooper DeJean, but Puka Nacua. Put them back in the conversation, but they're about to fall off. They're just holding on. Aaron Donald's gone. They're about to fall off.
Yeah, we'll see. I think, their defense probably will a little bit without him. He's obviously a great player. Twitter question today, sponsored by the PI Dental Center. If the Eagles trade up tonight, which position would you prefer they do it for? 72% on corner, 28% on O-line.
Smart people.
Let's go to the phones here, and then I'll give you my my big board, my top 10 guys I want to see in Eagles uniform. Ken in Cinnamon. And hey, Ken.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
Good, Ken. It's a fun day. A lot going on.
It sure is. I can't wait until tonight. First of all, and it's got nothing to do with the Sixers. First of all, Patrick Surtain is the best player on the Denver Broncos, period, and he's like 24 years old. Why would they trade him? So that's not going to happen.
I agree. Ken, the only way I could see it is if they want to get up to three or four for a quarterback.
The Commodores traded Champ Bailey.
Yeah. Like maybe they would use him, but I agree. They're probably not going to move him.
And, you know, I could care less about sexy picks. I want picks that are going to win football games now and for the next 10 years. I was watching tape this morning, and the most exciting tape I watched, I told Kyle this, and that pain in his head was about the first. The most exciting tape that I watched this morning was Troy Fatanu playing tackle at the University of Washington.
You know what? Shut up.
I had a stop it and play it back a couple times, because I have never seen some of that
Ken,
stuff.
Ken, I don't believe, we don't believe you.
He had, you go back, Hugh, you got to do this. Go watch, go look for the tape of the game against Washington State. He's playing left tackle. The edge rusher puts a spin move on him right off of the snap of the ball, puts a spin move on him. Fitanu spins in the opposite direction to wind up right back in front of him, square on his base, ready to block the guy. It's
okay, maybe you watched. Maybe you watched a little bit. Maybe you watched.
This sounds like an after show thing for
but
me.
But you're not about to convince me, Ken,
that I got excited about
an offensive lineman.
A pillar to win football.
Come on now.
This guy is special. This guy is special. And if you add this guy, if you draft this guy tonight, if I hear the Philadelphia Eagles have made a trade, they've moved up to the number 17 pick, and with that pick they draft Troy Fitanu out of the University of Washington. He is the starting right guard tomorrow, and you've made the football team better. This is not hard. We're overcomplicating things because this is what fantasy football has done to how we evaluate football.
Can I agree? It has ruined everyone's brains.
Really?
Fantasy football has ruined brains. I mean, it's killed it. How about this? Ken, good phone call. So I'm looking at Fitanu's NFL.com page. This is the first line. Ready-made brawler without an ounce of finesse in his game. Now we are talking. All right.
Without an ounce of finesse in this game.
Who wants finesse? Who wants sexy picks?
If you're going to be a pass protector, yes, in a passing league, you need a little bit of finesse.
He's a brawler, Hugh.
Yeah, and a run. Like, when I think of brawler, I think of a run stopper. I think of somebody that's going to be a brawler in the run game.
I'm just saying.
You don't need to be a brawler in the passing game.
I'm just saying. The guy's a star player. All right, let's get to my big board here.
What you got?
I got 10 players for you. All right, my 10 players, my big board for the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, most of these guys, fine, you know, taking a 22. Some would have to be trade-ups. The last two, I think, are trade-downs. Not really the pick number 22, but I would trade down and take those guys. All right, here we are. My big board for the Philadelphia Eagles, and these are ordered in just there. I like them. Just my favorites. Like, these are just guys I've watched, and they're my favorite players. Number one, I told you a few weeks ago he's going to be number one on my board. It's Cooper DeJean. If they sit at 22, Cooper DeJean is going to be a star in the NFL. Defensive back at Iowa. Number two, I know there's all these injury risks. I know what happened. Leiatu Latu, all he does is get to the quarterback.
With the neck, right?
He had neck issues, had to leave Washington, went to UCLA. I mean, he could be coached by Coach No Neck. I mean, it could work out perfect.
I was so confused. He said, with the neck. I'm like, yes, Hugh, they all have necks.
Yeah, well, hopefully
neck. I'm saying his neck. His neck is jacked up.
I missed the injury part.
It was jacked up. Like, he had surgery. If you look at him, his measurables, his production, this is a top five pick in most drafts. He's had injury issues, and everyone's afraid of it. Leiatu Latu, number two. Number three, Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo, the corner we've talked a lot about. Number four, all right, I threw you guys a bone. You know I like Brock. Yeah, I went Brock Bowers on my big board, number four. I love him. I think they need defense way more than offense. Offensive line's more important. It's a sexy pick. It's a luxury pick. I'm just saying, as a player, Brock Bowers is awesome. Number four. Number five, I put J.C. Latham, the offensive lineman, Alabama. He is gigantic. I mean, I'm seeing stuff this morning. He might go as high as five. Number six, Terrion Arnold, the corner at Alabama. Number seven, Chop Robinson.
Chop.
Edge rusher, Penn State.
Not a fan.
I remember when we got Bryce Huff, and you're talking about the get off, how quickly he gets off the ball. When I was watching some Bryce Huff a couple days ago, Chop Robinson, excuse me, he gets off the ball really fast. I'm just imagining Bryce Huff on one side
and Chop
on the other. Number eight, I put Amarius Mims, the offensive lineman, Georgia. He's a project. He's a down-the-line guy. He's probably not a starter year one. But, boy, his athleticism didn't allow a sack in 400 snaps last year. And he looks like a monster. I mean, he's like 6'8".
Yeah, he's a big dude.
Wow.
Big kid.
And we know the Eagles' pipeline at Georgia. So I put him at number eight. All right, number nine and number 10 are more trade-down scenarios. Number 10 actually is probably a second-round pick. But I think he's really good. Number nine, I threw you both a bone, right? I threw Hugh the bone of putting Brock Bowers on my big board. And Kyle, I threw you a bone. Number nine on my list is Xavier Worthy. I just see DeSean Jackson. I wouldn't draft him at 22. It has to be a trade down. But he's going to dominate the NFL.
Doesn't Worthy feel like the kind of guy that the Kansas City Chiefs take, and we're all like, wow.
So I was watching some of the highlights from the title game last year, or this first playoff game when they played Texas. No one could catch him. He ran past everyone.
That's the fast dude at the combine.
Yeah, and it seemed like it played up in real games, too.
Is Mama fun?
Mama fun. Really?
Oh, well, you know, Hugh wants that there.
I was just putting it out there for somebody else.
That's why Ringo's, right? That's the Ringo's.
You know what we got to do next year? We need a Big Hugh Mama Fine big board.
You know, we really do. That's a great idea.
She's probably Detroit with her, like you know, it's probably a lot of moms in Detroit with their kids.
Of course.
Which draft prospects have the finest moms?
Ranking the prospects solely on their moms.
You know what's funny? I don't know when this happened, but like even in the NBA draft, when you see some of the moms, you'd be like, okay.
Well, I remember when Luka was drafted, people thought that was like his sister. Oh, yeah, his mom looked very young.
Yeah. Did you, speaking of, was it Luka who brother punched somebody in the face?
No, that's Jokic.
Oh, Jokic, yeah.
I wouldn't mess with the Jokic brothers.
Well, you know what, by the way, can those guys screw off?
The Jokic's?
What are they doing? They're like thugs.
I'm telling you, you should not mess with the Jokic brothers. They'll show up here and you'll be in trouble.
I mean, come on.
Listen, I know we have Hugh to kind of stand up in case something happens. The Jokic brothers
will
take Hugh down.
If the Nuggets come here, I want the smoke from the Jokic brothers.
If the Jokic brothers come, you act like I'm a fight fan.
No, you're running. No, I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah.
We are in all big
trouble. We're grabbing things.
All right, I'm at that age.
Can I please unveil number 10 on the big board? We got lost here. Number 10, Edgerrin Cooper, linebacker, Texas A&M. Jeremiah Trotter's awesome, and it'd be cool if they draft him.
You don't think it's happening, though?
Probably not. And Edgerrin Cooper's the best linebacker in the draft. I put him at number 10. So my big board, I'd be happy if any of these guys end up Eagles. Cooper DeJean, defensive back, Iowa. Leiatu Latu, edge rush, UCLA. No. Quinyon Mitchell, corner, Toledo. Brock Bowers, tight end, Georgia. J.C. Latham, offensive line, Alabama. Terrion Arnold, corner, Alabama. Chop Robinson, edge rusher, Penn State. By the way, he's got a good name. Amarius Mims, O-line, Georgia. Xavier Worthy, receiver, Texas. And Edgerrin Cooper, Texas A&M. 215-592-9494. We'll hit your calls and a huge Sixers game tonight. Some interesting audio from Nick Nurse about the missed timeout, and the Sixers could be getting some big help back then. All coming up next on the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
The future of medicine is here at QC Kinetics. QC is the nation's leader in the most exciting revolution in pain management we've seen in decades, regenerative medicine. If you are tired of achy joints, if your joint pain is keeping you from doing what you love, you need to call my friends at QC Kinetics right now. Surgery, steroids, drugs, these are no longer your best options. Regenerative medicine at QC Kinetics is transforming lives with innovative treatments that deliver lasting results. We're talking natural biologics here, people, using your body's own power to repair and restore damaged tissue. QC Kinetics is under the leadership of National Medical Director, Dr. Mitchell Shinecup. Dr. Shinecup is a pioneer in this field with 20 years of clinical work, tons of research, teaching, publishing, et cetera, et cetera. He wants to get you relief with a needle and not a knife. Call QC Kinetics now to learn more about some exciting options. This is a revolutionary approach that gets you long-term relief with no downtime. Call QC Kinetics now for a free consultation at 215-999-3000. 215-999-3000. One more time. 215.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The last couple of days, yesterday I was able to, you know, get up and down, get some live action in, so that was really good for me and my body. Today I went to practice, so I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. I'm ready for the game tomorrow, you know, let's see how it goes.
A potential big boost for the Sixers. The voice there of D'Anthony Melton, who sounds like he's in to play tonight. And I feel like we've not talked enough about how much they miss this guy. D'Anthony Melton's a good player. Average over 11 points a game, 38% from three.
Yeah, we need that.
He's good. And it's very bizarre what has happened, Hugh, with his injury and his timeout. So he has not I'll say it this way. He's played in two games since the end of February.
Mm-hmm.
He came back and played 15 minutes against the Pistons on April 9th. He played 5 minutes against the Magic, second to last game of the season. Has not dressed again. He didn't play in the final game, didn't play in the Heat game, didn't play in the first two games against the Knicks. Before that, he had played three games in February. Before that, he originally started to be out in January. This is almost like lingered since January, because he had really started off the season well.
What was his injury?
Back injury. So okay, now,
yeah, tidy back.
Yeah, well, he's been in and out, and it's like twice they've ramped him back up to play. They got him back in, and then he's back out for a while. I don't know what to expect tonight. I'm not going to hold my breath and say he's going to give them 35 minutes after not playing much, but if he can go, that's a boost.
Yeah, and you need a boost. I think it's all hands on deck. Now, that's the first thing that I was thinking when I heard his name of potentially being out there. Young Thundercat, all hands are on deck right now. We need all the scoring we can get.
Well, they do, and he's a player that could play both sides of the basketball, and he could shoot, he could play defense. That's a big boost. All right, let's also hear from Nick Nurse, still answering questions about the timeout that wasn't and the inbound that went awry for the Sixers. Here was Nurse yesterday talking about all this.
Feedback from the NBA about the officiating.
Clock hit midnight after that game, and I moved on.
Okay.
I always give it till midnight, and we move on. Get ready for the next one.
She told Nick, him. Can I follow up kind of on that? How much thought did you, after Brunson hits the three, how much thought did you put into calling a timeout right there so you could have taken the ball out at half court and used the whole court?
Yeah, I explained that after the game. I what we do and what you saw us do is what we do is Kyle always races to the ball really quickly, as he did. He turns, he takes a look. Normally, if he doesn't have it right away, we take time out. And that's kind of what I waited for him to do that. Obviously going back now, you say, oh, geez, I sure wish we would have taken it right away when the ball went in. But that's like anybody can make those decisions after the game. But that's what we do. Probably done it 40-plus more times with Kyle that exact way.
It's interesting, Hugh. He kind of put it on Lowry. Like, he trusts him to read the defense, read the inbound, and if he doesn't
kind of threw him under the bus just a little bit.
A little bit.
I mean,
I guess what he's saying is because he has Lowry, he's not going to just call the timeout. He's going to trust him see the court.
I mean, hindsight being 2020, I don't know how I feel about him putting it on a player like that. I mean, it is up to the point guard to know the flow, ebb and flow of the game. But, you know, I think in a situation like that as a coach, got to kind of give him a heads up. Hey, man, you might want to, you know, just in case. Because it's a lot going on during the course of the game, man. And just to say that, you know, you expected him to do it like that, that's not what's hot in the streets, in my opinion.
Yeah, it is showing full trust in him, though. Like, he's not going to jump over him and call the timeout. Where I think he really made the error was he needed to call the timeout after Brunson made the three. You move it to half court, and you give yourself the whole court of space to get that inbound in for Lowry to see the court better. I think after that, then it just became a matter of timing. I don't mind that he trusted Lowry. He could have just put it on himself, though.
Yeah, he could have did that.
He just took the blame.
That's what good coaches do. You know, you take the heat for that one, even though you might have felt that way. I think he had one of those moments where, you know, you wish you could have not said that. But I think he felt that they had a good enough relationship where he could do that, and it's not being, you know, compartmentalized, anything like that.
Yeah. You know, I always wonder, like, there's the good and the bad of trust with coaches and players. Like, he trusted him totally. He's had him for years. Back in Toronto, they won a championship. Obviously, he's had him now here in Philadelphia. He trusted Lowry, and it just didn't work out for the Sixers. All right, what are we feeling tonight? Sixers are, last time I checked, 4.5-point favorites. It may have moved to 5. Are we feeling really good about tonight? Good?
Very good.
Very good.
Very, very good. I am. I mean, me personally, yeah. I feel great.
Well, so is it a lock? Lock it up?
I said in 4. I'm not wavering from that.
I like the Sixers tonight.
Well, even though it's going to be in 6, but four straight games.
Yeah, and Sixers in 4 was dead a while ago.
You knew it, but you knew what I meant.
I like the Sixers tonight to get their game.
if I know one thing about Philadelphia sports, it's that one of these two teams are going to gravely disappoint me tonight. I think it's going to be the Eagles. I have more of a feeling they're going to take an offensive lineman than I do that the Sixers are going to lose. I am going to be that guy, Hugh. I've been here for too long, rooting for these teams for too long, getting crushed by these teams for too long. One of them's going to screw me tonight. I'm guessing it's the Eagles. So I got the Sixers winning.
Well, long term, a Sixers win tonight and an offensive lineman is not going to be remembered as a bad night. The offensive line is probably going to be good.
Hopefully.
I mean, it might be remembered as a great night in Philadelphia sports. When Fuaga goes into the Eagles Hall of Fame one day.
And all I'll be thinking about is how pissed off I was.
When Fontano goes in the Eagles Hall of Fame.
Terrible.
You'll be at the game cheering and remembering what you said the next day on WIP.
And we'll have zero Super Bowls to show
for. No, stop. Because of this pick tonight.
Yep. They're going to blow their chances at winning the bowl this year.
Yeah, all right. All right, 215-592-9494. We'll go back to your phone calls here in a second on all things Eagles. And we've got to end. Well, here's how we'll end this hour. And we do have leading off with the Phillies coming up at 12. They play today at 1:10 first pitch in Cincinnati. Wheeler on the mound and Bryce Harper back in the lineup. We got a lot to talk about the Phillies coming up in the 12 o'clock hour with leading off. But we're going to end this hour with our official predictions for tonight. So we're going to give you who we want and who we think the Eagles will pick. But first, while we're on the Sixers, do we have a new Joe Conklin song here we have to hear?
We sure do.
Let's hear. Let's get ourselves ready to go with the newest from Conklin.
We're good, we're gonna win the series. We know what we gotta do, we gotta fix it. We're the better team.
We're coming home, our heads are up. Now our crowd is really pumped. Time to win, we're Philly tough. Home is where things come alive. Sixers fans are at our side, our team won't be denied. Our house, where we're gonna get the calls. Our house, and the ref will show some. Our house has a rocking crowd. It's where the winning's happening. Everybody's screaming loud. Sixer fans are so house proud. Nothing ever slows them down, and sulking's not allowed. Our house, it's the place we can't be beat. Our house. Everybody's on their feet. Our house. No one's sitting in their seat. Our house. It's a place we can't be beat. Now it's time to ring the bell. The Philly crowd goes crazy. Our fans will give them hell. Free throws that they'll be bricking. Time to take your licking, 'cause we're hungry for some chicken. Our house, it's the place we can't be beat. Our house, everybody's on their feet.
Josh Harris here. Actually, I don't like our house. What I really want to do is create a new house in Chinatown so I can stuff my pockets. Go Commando.
I like that song.
Oh, it's a good one. Set a nice tone setting for tonight. See Joe Conklin and the City Rhythm Orchestra at the Jersey Shore this summer on Saturday, June 29th, Wildwood Catholic Academy in North Wildwood, and on Saturday, July 13th at the Ocean City Music Pier in Ocean City. For tickets, go to joeconklin.com. Yeah, you know what I would like tonight? I would like our house to have a good, positive memory. The Sixers, they've had some rough home playoff moments in the last few years. I need tonight to be a big, comfortable win. You know what I want to do?
What you want to do?
Well, I want at like, what time is this game tip? 7:30? 8? Somewhere around
If it's a TNT game, then they usually tip like 5 minutes after the
Okay. I want to be able to, in the fourth quarter, switch the screen over from the big screen on the Sixers to flip it, to put the draft on. I want a 15-point lead in the fourth quarter. Is that too much to ask? Can I get a comfortable win?
That's way too much.
I don't think
it's going to be like that.
I see them in the NBA all the time. The Timberwolves blowing the doors off of the Suns. Like, they happen.
See the Sixers do it?
No. Well, I'm not saying they're going to win by 40. I just want a game where I feel like they got it. And I guess I thought we had it the other night, up 5 with 40 seconds to go. But I just want a comfortable win. That's all. Maybe Joel can get off the floor in the fourth quarter instead of, you know, hobbling up and down the court.
And now you're getting crazy.
All right.
Yeah, it's probably going to be a little hobbling. Probably going to be some hobbling.
Well, if they're up, he doesn't have to hobble as much. He could sit down. That's what I'm asking for tonight. Maybe it is too much to ask. All right, 215-592-9494. All right, Chris at Chalfont, he may have some inside info tonight on who the Eagles are to pick. What's up, Chris?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, Chris. What's up, buddy?
So, same as last year. I'm not telling you guys a prediction. I'm calling to let you know exactly what will happen.
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay. Howie, everyone knows, is not a normal GM. He's an investment banker. He solves problems before they exist. And in recent years, he's kind of taken to be a bit of a showman. He likes to people please. So not just taking the practical pick, he likes the pretty and practical pick. Eagles will be trading up. To stick with the trend of Georgia players, we are taking Brock Bowers. Now, I might not think that's the ideal player we need, but I'm not Howie Roseman. He knows that Dallas Goedert's contract expires after next season. Tight ends take a year or two to get into, up to scale for the NFL. It's the pick that makes sense long-term, and it makes everyone in Philadelphia smile.
Well, Chris, we're saving this audio. If they trade up for Bowers tonight, we're playing this tomorrow. The logic you just put out, I understand it if they do it. I mean, they've done this thing with tight ends for a long time now, right? They did it when Selleck was older. They drafted Ertz. When Ertz was older, they drafted Goddard. I get it.
It's the exact same trend. It follows how he likes to repeat the same move if it makes sense, and this is the same move. Now, if someone steals Bowers in the top 10, then there's a couple guys we might look at, but as of right now, their sights are set. Brock Bowers is definitely the pick, and we're looking at the early teens, possibly right after the 10th.
Interesting.
Chris, good phone call, man. We will save this one. Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's insane if he's right. I mean, I think every time we've talked about Bowers, we've referenced this tight end thing. They always have the contingency plan. But I think the last thing he said is the most important. It's got to get to a certain level. I'd be floored if they trade into the top 10 for a tight end from 22. Now, if he gets past the Jets, I'm not sure where he's going. The Colts I've seen a lot, and that could be interesting with Steichen and Anthony Richardson. But I don't know if there's like a perfect spot for Brock Bowers.
By the way, so much respect for instead of – because, you know, we get the other side. They'll go, I just want the best player available. Coward. Instead of saying, this is who I want, here's my guy, telling us who they are going to take.
This is what's going to happen.
That's ballsy. I love that.
That's a real prediction right there. And he has, this particular caller has hit their picks in recent years. I mean, I like this. I mean,
yeah, I don't know if he said this on the air. He told me that he called John and Ike last year and said they were going to trade up for Jalen Carter.
And that, so the trade up part,
big.
Carter was
right.
Widely mocked, but they did trade up one spot to ensure they had him.
And he also apparently, now this is, I have not dug up the audio of when he called into John and Ike, but he said that he also had them trading for DeAndre Swift. Caller's resources.
I mean, the Swift one's pretty good.
That's
a big
one.
Yeah, the Carter one, I think most people could have guessed.
Yes. But the other Swift
felt like it was trending that way. It did feel like the Carter.
Wow, you guys want a sexy pick. Trading up for Brock Bowers would be the definition of a sexy pick.
That would be freaking awesome.
How excited? You gotta have a Brock Bowers jersey.
No.
Yeah, oh, no, you
definitely.
Have to. You got
Nah.
We'll buy you one.
Nah,
we'll order one tomorrow.
Wow.
I mean, he's your guy. Why not?
I mean, can't wear another man's jersey.
Why not?
I got a jersey. You know what's funny about that though? I have a Dallas Goedert jersey.
Well,
that's still in the box.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you're allowed.
What's wrong with wearing another man's jersey? It's not like you have to go.
I'm not wearing another man's jersey.
Why not? It's not like you have to go kiss him.
No, it's
just wear his jersey.
I'm not doing that.
Well, jerseys are cool. I'm just saying, if you're the one banging the drum for Bowers.
Oh, so now I got to wear the jersey.
No, you may have to return the Goddard jersey. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but like, here, dog.
Sorry. I wanted your replacement. Brian in Clifton Heights. What's up, Brian?
Hey, guys.
What's up, Brian?
Guys? How you doing?
Good. What are you feeling?
Well, on this draft pick, I'm feeling Bowers myself if we're correctly, but if not, I'm going with a guard to start because last year the Eagles' problem on offense was they did not catch many balls over the middle of the field, and when Hurts do best? What does he run as the offense? He runs the RPO.
Yep.
When you blow off the RPO, what is Hurts going to do? And, and Juergens was out six games last year, or five games. Kelce missed zero in 6 years. So now if Juergens gets hurt again, we don't know if he's injury prone. We don't know if Steen can play. So I don't want a guy, if I'm drafting a lineman at 12 or 15 or 20, he's going to be my starter. He's going to play 16 games. I'm not looking for depth. I'm looking for a guy to contribute, and we don't know if Steen can play. And, we got – Hurts got beat up the middle. and he did not throw the ball towards the middle of the field. And what that always leads me, is it the coaches? Is it Hurts? Or is it Goddard? But regardless, Goddard did not contribute for what he made. I've been a big proponent of trying to trade this guy. I don't think he's that good. I think he's an average player. And he makes a lot of money on an average team. And if you're going to think about ringing up A.J. Brown, you have to have a guy making less money, you know, as your skill player set.
Oh, totally. And on top of this, now we're paying a running back a lot. So there's a lot. All the skill players here make a lot of money now.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. What these teams are doing now? They're clogging the middle, and their defensive ends are staying home, and they're not letting this guy get around the end. So can Hurts hit with the new running back? What's his name?
Saquon.
Can he hit Saquon on a little screen out of the backfield? Can he hit, you know, the tight end over the middle? Because that's the way you beat that's the way you beat this defense and what they're playing. And last year, I didn't see Jalen or the offensive coordinator beat that all year.
They didn't.
Kill them in the middle of the
field. Yeah, well, and to get the most out of Barkley, and Brian, we appreciate the phone call, to get the most out of Barkley, they're going to have to do that. They're going to have to block it up front for him to run and dump it off to him. All right, let's give out our final predictions here. So we'll be back on at 6, you and I, for the beginning of our draft coverage tonight from Lincoln Financial Field. So we got leading off in a few minutes, and then we'll hand it over to the Phils after the Phillies today. Here's how it works on WIP. The afternoon show will pick up as soon as the Phillies are done this afternoon from the link with Spike and Jack and Ike. And then at 6 o'clock, and I believe DeCamera's going to join the crew coming up, you know, whenever they come on, 4 o'clock or whatever today after the baseball game. And then at 6 o'clock, Hugh and I will be back. Jack's going to be with us. Elliot, Ike, it's going to be a ton of fun.
It's going to be a long day.
8 o'clock, I get tagged out for Glenn Mack now. But let's, Hugh, let's make our predictions as of now. So let's do two things. Who we want and then who we think. Who we want them to draft tonight and who we actually think the pick will end up being. Hugh,
easy for me.
Well, go ahead. All right,
I want Brock Bowers. Who I think they're going to pick is Brock Bowers.
Oh, wow.
You know what, Hugh?
Georgia.
If they do get him, you have to get his jersey.
You do.
You are
a Bulldog. I mean, Ike was right. You're an honorary Georgia Bulldog.
You have to get over that little thing.
That's not a little thing.
It's a piece of cloth, Hugh.
It is a little thing.
It's ridiculous.
A cloth with somebody else's name on it.
So what?
He's your guy.
Are you an Eagles fan or not?
I am a diehard Eagles fan.
Uh-huh.
I'm not doing that.
We're just going to buy this and expense it. I mean, this is done.
Just like we're going to get you trying foods, you're wearing Brock Bowers jersey.
Okay, so Hugh's on the record. Bowers. Here's what I'm going with tonight. The player I want is Cooper DeJean. He's my guy. You heard. Number one on my big board. I think Cooper DeJean's going to be an impact defensive back. And safety corner. He's a defensive back that could play 90 snaps and also do everything you want him to do at whatever position. I think he's going to be a really good player. He's who I want. Who I think they're drafting an offensive lineman. I mean, that's what I think is going to happen tonight. My best guess, just based on guys they brought in here, the history he's got, what a certain player he could take the place of one day. I think Tyler Guyton at Oklahoma is a guy that makes a lot of sense. Now, they could trade up for someone better. I mean, I who knows who's going to be there. But if they sit at 22, Tyler Guyton, Oklahoma, feels like an Eagles pick. Lane takes him under his wing for a few years, and he's either a guard and eventually the right tackle of the future. So I want DeJean. My guess is Tyler Guyton, Oklahoma. Kyle, who do you want? Who do you think?
So I trust Howie to do the smart thing and not take an offensive lineman in this draft. I would say the one that I want the most, I'm with you. I want Brock Bowers because, you know, I was in on a receiver / weapon yesterday.
Yeah, he's a weapon.
I think a tight end is more of an area of need than wide receiver is currently. And I think two tight end sets with Kellen Moore is going to be a big deal. I want Brock Bowers. And I was going to say Cooper DeJean until that caller with sources called in and said we're getting Brock Bowers. So I'm officially staking Brock Bowers.
So you guys really think we're getting Brock Bowers tonight? You guys are wild.
That caller just told us,
Joe. Wild. I know.
You don't believe him?
No, not that I don't believe him.
It sounds like you don't.
Well, I mean, he could also just go 10 to the Jets, and then he's off the board. And then, like, what are the Eagles going to do? They're going to have to do something else.
Well, he just told us what they're going to do.
Well, if they trade into the top 10 for a tight end.
I trust all of our callers.
I do, too.
They're not always right, but I trust them. I always trust them. All right, let's quickly go to Terrence. Terrence, what's up, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How y'all feeling?
Good, Terrence. What are you thinking?
Hey, it's not what I think, it's what I know. Kool-Aid McKinstry got to be the pick. We got to stay at 22 and we got to take him. I firmly believe he got a higher upside than Terrion. He might be the second or third best corner. He had two freshmen, ran a 4-4 with a broke foot at his pro day. And he's very physical. We want people that's going to get in there and get physical, tackle, not scared of the hit. That's him. I don't understand why any of these callers, how can you say, we don't know if Tyler Steele can play? Is that how you truly feel? What makes you so confident that drafting a guard in the first round, he's going to come in and be able to play? And when have the Eagles ever drafted a tight end in the first round?
Well, they don't. Yeah, I mean, it's been
never.
It'd be rare. I mean, it'd be unprecedented, really, for them. Terrence, we appreciate it. Kool-Aid's interesting. I mean, he's a guy that's slipped now, it seems, in mock drafts, and a guy that might go at the end of the first round now.
Just really quick, Herb called and wanted to get on record that he was first to say the Eagles would get Brock Bowers.
Okay. So it's a source off.
This is Herb's source.
It's a source off.
Source off. It's a source off. We're all Mel Kiper
today.
The
source off.
Just need to get that.
We have ourselves a baseball game coming up. On the other side, we'll get you set for the Phillies and the Reds. We need to win today. I don't want the Phillies to lose 3 out of 4 instead today. They need to get the split today. We'll talk about today's game. Bryce Harper is back from paternity leave. They got an issue with one part of this lineup, and it's not Rojas. He could play. It's another outfielder. And, of course, the Spencer Turnbull decision. 215-592-9494. We'll get set for the Phillies and the Reds leading off next on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.